Hey there, my lovelies. Welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
This week, we're going to be taking a closer look at a couple supernatural thrillers, 2011's The Awakening, now streaming on Netflix, and 2015's Crimson Peak, now available on HBO Go. Carly just did her Crimson Peak dance. That's really good, Carly.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So welcome to any new listeners. If you haven't seen these films yet, please proceed with caution as we are a spoiler-heavy podcast. There's your spoiler warning of the episode.
That's all you get.
Yep. I guess we always have to do that. Like, we always have to say it. There's no way around it.
Alert. We will warning. Ruin these movies.
Warning. Spoilers. We love spoiling movies.
You do.
I can't see. I have to have a spoiling like kind of show because I don't know how to not spoil things and talk about them at the same time.
I'm too vague otherwise.
Yeah. I guess if you're like, I don't know how movie reviewers do it. I'm like, let me spoil this movie for you and tell you why it's good or bad. That's just kind of how it works with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you need more brains than I do, than I have to be able to accomplish that. All right. Well, before we get into any of those movies, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Personal Shopper, due for theatrical release on March 10th, written and directed by Olivier Assayas. He's a French director, also directed a bunch of French movies. Surprise, surprise. The only one that I, like, kind of heard of before was Paris Je T'aime, which I've just seen it streaming. I've never, like, I don't know anything about it, really.
I liked it. It's, like, a bunch of directors and writers who, you know, do little snippets. It's kind of an anthology, I guess.
Oh, cool. Is it just, like
a bunch of shorts, but they're all about Paris.
Oh, that's
And then they
nice.
Made one that's called New York, I Love You as well.
Oh, I would like that one, probably.
The Paris one's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out. Is it English language or is it all in French?
There's both. It's English and also subtitles.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of this trailer for Personal Shopper?
This is actually a lot. This one made it look way better than the original snippet that I saw. Because I had seen something when Kristen Stewart was on The Tonight Show, they, instead of doing like a clip from the movie, they did like a little like pre-trailer, I guess like a teaser kind of.
Yeah.
But this one goes way more into depth and I don't know. I think it looks good. I'd see it.
I'm confused by it.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's strange that it's called Personal Shopper.
Me too. When she's like a twin who her brother died and she's like trying to get in touch with him, but then there's also like the person that she personal shops for is like murdered, and that part wasn't included in like the teaser that I had originally saw, so this turned into a whole different movie for me.
Yeah.
When I saw this trailer.
Yeah, it's just strange, although it's starring Kristen Stewart, and she, as always, is looking very scared of everything. She's very good at looking scared of everything. Even in her regular life, she looks pretty frightened all the time.
Yes.
She should be in more horror movies.
She's been in quite a few.
Yeah, she has. Well, wait, what other ones has she been in? Are you talking about Twilight?
No. Yes, all four of them. Okay, well, so now that I'm thinking about it, the only one that I can think of is The Messengers.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that movie. That movie's kind of forgettable, isn't it?
Yeah, I just remember that she just loved her brother so much. That's all I remember from that movie.
She loves her brothers in both these movies.
Yeah.
I think it looks okay. Do personal shoppers usually dress like that? Cause I always had this impression in my head that personal shoppers were semi-fashionable and, like, knew how to shop for things.
I mean,
or do they just buy what you tell them to buy? Like, are they basically like gophers, like go get this for me, or are they stylist purse people that know like how to shop?
I guess they can be both. I guess it's like there's the stylist aspect where they're like styling you, but then maybe she's like more a personal assistant where she just like runs errands for this person.
Yeah, which that would make more sense because she looks semi-homeless. And
maybe the French like translation of personal assistant translates to personal shopper, maybe, or something.
Because when I don't know, when I think of personal shopper, I just don't think of what she looked like embodies.
Totally.
Looking at her.
How did she get this general job?
Yeah. Like, you look like a little boy like throughout half this movie, which is totally fine. She looks great. Nothing against Kristen Stewart. I think she's lovely. I just mean, like, you know, personal shoppers, I just, like, expect them to, like, look a certain way.
Even, like, her temperament, not, yeah, like, what I would think of.
No.
In, like, a personal assistant.
Right.
Kind of situation.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe that'll be explained in the movie.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Yes, this is just the trailer, so we don't really know. But
I'll like stream it, but I probably wouldn't like see it in the theater.
Yeah, I don't even know that it will really be showing in most theaters. I don't think this will be a wide release. This is like an independent film, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, maybe for streaming. Maybe for a future episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay. Okay, keeping it in mind. Not super excited about it, but maybe it'll be good. Okay. You ready to get started?
Let's do this.
I'm excited. Let's talk about The Awakening. Woohoo! So The Awakening is a British film from 2011, directed by Nick Murphy, and written by Stephen Volk and Nick Murphy. It's starring Rebecca Hall, Dominic West, and Imelda Staunton. And takes place during 1920s England. You've seen this movie before, right, Carly?
No, this is actually the first time.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, we can't forget Isaac Hempstead Wright, little Bram, or Bran. Bran, what's his face?
Oh, that's why he looked familiar!
Yeah.
I totally missed that.
He's a Stark. He's a baby, yeah. Stark.
Little Bram.
Little baby, aww, Stark.
Yeah, I saw this movie years ago, and I was just thinking of a ghost movie to do with Crimson Peak, and it just came up on my Netflix when I was looking through them. And I was like, I remember liking that movie, but I don't really remember what it was about. And then as I was watching, I'm like, this movie is so good. Like,
I really, really liked this movie a lot.
Talk about underrated. Like, and you never hear about this movie. I'm really excited and glad we're talking about it, because this one flies in under the radar a lot of the time, and it shouldn't. It's really very good.
I'm really happy to see Imelda Staunton, I don't know how to say her last name, in a movie where I don't hate her. Because I know you don't know this, but she was a very dislikable character in Harry Potter. And to the point of when I was reading the book that her character is in, it, like, was hard for me to finish because she played such a dreadful woman.
Oh.
But she...
I've seen her in other things. She looks very familiar to me.
Yeah, she does. I just know her from Harry Potter.
Ah.
She is Dolores Umbridge.
All right. The acting is great in this movie. I think Rebecca Hall is awesome, and Dominic West is pretty handsome, if I do say so myself.
He is super handsome.
Yeah, in his, like, little British way. I don't know what that means. I don't know why it would be any different than he's British, but...
I will take it. That's great.
He looks British. I don't know. I guess he's...
He was in a show with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Was he?
Yeah. A TV show.
Was it called Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Sure, no, wasn't. No. I'm trying to think of the name of it now. I have to look it up real fast because it's going to bother me.
I could totally see him playing a vampire, though. I think if you're British, you can always play a vampire. Like, going in for a casting call when you're up for a vampire role, like, it must just be a bunch of British people. Because I don't know why, but British people are always vampires.
It's so funny. I'm, like, looking through his IMDb, and he's, like...
He just totally ignored all I said.
No, it's didn't. Rude. He could be a vampire.
It's fine. Whatever.
I like his earlier situations. He was a photographer in Spice World. And he was a palace guard in Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
I'm on board. I'm bored with what this guy's doing.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, so I really, really liked this movie.
I'm glad you did. I'm surprised you haven't seen it, but I'm glad that you did watch it because I'm glad I rewatched it. I don't think I remembered how good it was or that I like caught all the little things in this movie that are so good. Because it's kind of a romance and it's kind of a ghost movie, and sometimes in movies, like especially horror movies or any kind of like thriller type movies, when there's romance, it's kind of sometimes excessive, you know, like it's not needed or they just throw that in there to make it more interesting. I feel like this is like a legit little B storyline romance that I care about.
I thought it was really great. I was wrong, by the way. Guy's not in that TV show with Buffy. Totally different guy. But I just wanted to throw that out there. But I really liked the reveal, I guess, in this movie. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't something that I was super expecting. And, like, I don't know. I really, really liked it.
I thought that, like I said, the romance aspect was really nicely done. I thought the chemistry between Florence and Robert was realistic. You know, they were sarcastic and flirty, and it was sweet, you know, the way they interacted, even just from the beginning, like pushing back from one another and giving each other a hard time. But it was still very sweet at the same time. I liked that. And sometimes I don't like that, but I think this film did a really good job with that part of it.
I really like in both of these movies that the ghosts aren't trying to hurt our lead character, that they're trying to, like, be helpful. And in this case, they're, like, reminding her of where she came from.
Yeah, I like that also. I think, and if you think about it in a lot of ghost stories, that's the case. They're warning you or they're... You know, they're a plot device to further the story and to expose history or truths from the past.
They're not like they're just scary by default because they're dead.
That's true. So, both of these films definitely have that in common, where the ghosts definitely help push the story forward and give you knowledge you wouldn't have if they weren't there. By the way, I just wanted to mention, I know when we were just, I think when we did our trailer trash talk for Ouija Origin of Evil, I was saying something about, this was a long time ago, don't even ask me what episode, but when we did our trailer trash talk for then, I was saying, oh, there's another movie where they do a fake seance, and I can't remember what one it is. It was this movie. So, and when I was watching it, I was like, oh, it's this movie. I couldn't remember.
We've come full circle, ladies and gentlemen.
It's only been like 6 months of me wondering what movie I was thinking about. And here it is.
Good for you for remembering that.
Right? So good. I'm so smart. There was a line in this movie I would like to repeat. Florence says, without science, people don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything. And I was like, oh, how true. Even today.
Yes. I like that. How relevant.
Yeah, how very relevant. Oh, science is important, everybody.
So important.
Here's your final girl's message for the day.
Yeah, science is important.
Science is important. Let's not disregard science. Okay, moving on. Message. I don't know how this movie wasn't more successful. Thoughts to how that might be, because it's kind of similar to the others.
It reminded me of that, but it was different because it's...
Yes.
I don't know.
I think it's much better than the others. I'm not going to lie. I like this movie a lot more than the others.
I think I do also. I haven't seen the others in a really long time, but I remember being really creeped out by like that window shot with all the dead family outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like what I remember from the end of the others.
Well, this film isn't very scary.
No.
I wouldn't say that The Awakening is a scary movie, but it is very creepy and very atmospheric. And there's definitely some really creative, like creepy scenes in this movie that I love. My favorite, I think, is when she is looking through the dollhouse and she's seeing all the scenes that have happened already. And then she sees herself looking at the dollhouse and the boy standing behind her and, oh, creeps, chills.
I really enjoyed watching this movie twice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, kind of had like a Sixth Sense thing going on where you're like, yeah. Tom's not there. Only two people can see Tom, but right. he's in a lot of the scenes. So it was kind of fun, you know, placing him.
Yeah, the second time around. It definitely is fun to go back. And it was kind of like watching it for the first time because it's been years since I've seen it and I forgot the ending. I don't know how I did, but I don't think I'll ever forget it again. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying attention or what have you, but I was like surprised again at the end. Like I knew there was a twist and I kind of remembered some of it. But it just kind of, it was nice to get to experience it all over again, I guess.
It was so good because like the little boy is so there all the time that when he's like, Florence, like all the kids have gone home. It's just the three of us. You're like, what?
Yeah. And all the characters are nice. Like everyone seems human and relatable, you know, with the exception of Judd, who's a dick.
Yes.
Everyone's very relatable and human, you know, they have faults, but no one's like a real villain. I guess Judd kind of is, but he doesn't count. He's in like very little of this movie, so I wouldn't consider him a villain. He's just like a way to spring the story forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I really just love it. I think Robert is my favorite character. I really love him. He's very like dry and sarcastic and funny. I love it when he's breaking up the fight between the two boys. And he tells one guy, the kid that's beating up the other kid, to stop it. And he tells the other kid, like, you need to stick up for yourself and get a haircut.
Yeah.
Parenting at its finest.
No, he's super awesome. I really like all the characters in, well, like all the main characters, like the three main characters and then obviously Tom. Yeah. I really liked how they did her remembering
mm-hmm.
her parents dying and how every room that she went in, it was always happening.
Yeah.
I loved watching that kind of unfold. Like, you have to see this. Like, mm-hmm. just stay and, you know, ride it out. And then, like, you could see her face while you could see kind of what was happening in the background. I really liked that shot a lot.
Yeah, it was a great shot.
I just learned another fun fact. There's another Stark in this movie.
Who?
Joseph Maul, who plays Edward Judd, the groundskeeper, is Benjen Stark.
Oh. Wow, he looks a lot different now.
How fun is that?
That is funny. How did that even happen? I guess because they're British. Game of Thrones like, oh, you're British? Here, be on our show. Yeah,
get in here. I just said get in here and my beagle like ran towards me at full force.
Yes, Mom, I'm here.
Hey, buddy.
What can I help you with? So what did you think of the weird hole in the bathroom wall?
I'm like, I don't know. Like, I was watching it. I was like, she's like going for it. She's like, he's naked. Go on. Like, yeah, what's she doing?
She was totally into it. She was like, I'm not looking away. I can hear him splash in the tub. I'm going to go check this shit out. Watch him pick at his leg wound.
Yeah, right?
It's disgusting.
The entire, when it was like her on the other side and like she heard someone, I was like, I would be real, because like you don't know that it's Robert right. that's on the other side. I was like, I would definitely be a little more hesitant than she was.
Yeah, she was like, hey, check out my boobs. Don't they look nice? Don't be afraid, Robert.
I'm going to drop check my these towel. Out.
Yeah, I was like, don't look in that hole. Don't look. You don't need to be looking in there. Then it's a little boy ghost face. See? That'll teach you. Don't look in bathroom holes.
I want to know why his face was like the ring face.
Because it was the time. I don't know. It's 2011. I guess it was later than that. but I don't know. It was twisted sometimes, but she even said at the end, like, can you control what your face looks like? And he said sometimes. So,
I mean, and I get that, but like, I don't understand why it's like that to begin with.
Like, why? You mean like as a choice as a filmmaker, why they made him look like that?
Yeah, exactly. Because like when he died, it was a surprise. Like he didn't know that he was getting. That's not like how he died. You know what I mean? Like he just got shot by mistake.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like it's the scary ghost kid face. They're just trying to make it look scary.
Gotcha.
Which I don't think this movie was scary, but some people might think it's scary. I don't know.
I don't think it was scary either.
It's good, though. It's really, really good.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it so much. And I loved her use of, like, the old science to figure out which of the boys was, like, creeping up on her. And the bells. And I really liked the light bulb, like, the old flashlight. Like, I was so into this movie. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really creative. And, they definitely allude to Tommy being a ghost earlier in the film. Because he seems to have a lot of knowledge about people and what they're feeling and their past, especially with Florence. So it was, upon second viewing, it was like, oh yeah, I kind of, like when he started saying that and there was a little bit of foreshadowing, it's like, oh, okay, I kind of remember him like not being like human. So, but it's nice, a little sprinkling in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, definitely going back, you can see it, and it makes sense. But, like, the first time around, you're just like, oh, he doesn't have parents, and he, like, is best friends with the maid. Like, he's that kid who, like, doesn't have friends.
And I like how Florence is, has, like, this repressed memory. And she doesn't really remember her past, and she just made up this story about what happened to her parents. And then as she's having the flashback and remembering what actually happened, and she sees her brother get shot and her father kill himself, she looks at this painting of this horse being eaten by a lion, which is still in the house, and she looks at earlier and is confused by it. And, you know, the story she tells of how her parents died was that they were eaten by lions, and it's just interesting full circle detail that they brought out, which I like that.
Yeah, it's super great. And I really liked that, like, the reason why she was brought there is, like, solved fairly quickly.
Yeah.
But then you can tell, like, she's not satisfied. And then we go into the real thick of it.
Yeah. And it's nice to see, like, this is a good character for a woman. I like that it takes place in the 20s, and she's very smart, very well educated, very, you know, she wrote a book, which is very popular, and people like her and like her work. It's pretty cool. I like it. I like that part of it. I think that's well done. And at the end, when she's walking by and the man says something as she walks by, as ladies' minds are often can't cope with further education. I didn't know that they had Breitbart News back then, but apparently they did.
I didn't know that they did either.
I think I read that article recently. Surprise. On Breitbart News.
Yeah. Little tie-in. So yeah, two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up for both of us. I like this awakening. One.
Yes, watch ma'am. This. You can definitely recommend it to people that like don't necessarily like scary movies.
Yeah.
It's a good ghost movie that's not, it like, there aren't really any jump scares either. There's maybe, like, one or two.
Yeah, I mean, if you're especially jumpy, there might be a few. But if you're not someone who startles easy, it's not very jumpy.
It's pretty mellow.
You can see them coming.
Yeah.
It's not a, if you watch enough horror movies, you definitely can see them coming.
Yes.
So, and even when you watch it, it's not, like, that little boy, even at his scariest, is not very scary.
No.
So.
But he doesn't want to be.
No, he doesn't. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a very well-thought-out movie. Again, I'm kind of mad that this movie isn't more popular. It deserves more than it's gotten, and it's kind of sad that the director hasn't really been doing any other movies since this. He only did one other film. He's done a lot of, like, BBC television shows. Okay. That's mostly what he did. He also directed another film called Blood, which is a crime thriller. I haven't seen that, but that's his other full-length film he's done. He hasn't done anything other than that. So nothing since 2012. So I'd say we're well overdue for another Nick Murphy movie. Come back, Nick Murphy. We like you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I wish that movie did better. Everyone watch it like a bunch of times. Let's try to get it
popular. Let's make it a thing.
Yeah, it should be a thing.
I should. Agreed.
Okay, let's move on to Crimson Peak.
Okie dokie.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro and written by Guillermo del Toro and Matthew Robbins. If you are for some reason from another planet and you're not sure who Guillermo del Toro is, he's the dude that did Hellboy and Mimic and The Devil's Backbone and Kronos and Pan's Labyrinth is just perfect.
Phenomenal. So good.
So good.
Oh my God.
And Carly loves Crimson Peak.
I love this movie more every time I see it.
Wow.
I, liked it when I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
And then I just kept on liking it even more every time I see it.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
We went to the Guillermo del Toro art exhibit at LACMA.
Yes, we did.
And this is definitely my favorite room, was, seeing all the costumes from this film and seeing all the, miniatures and, so cool. This is, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful film.
Yeah, and this set was, have you seen any of the behind the scenes? Okay, I highly recommend it. I will post a couple.
Please do.
Post a couple videos on our notes. But it looks amazing. The set is huge, and you could see the actors were very much in awe of the set when they were filming.
They built the full house, right?
They built the full house. The floors truly oozed. And
so cool.
Everything looks... I mean, it looks like Disneyland. His movies remind me of Disneyland. There's so much,
I just want to crawl in them and, be a part of it.
It looks like a playset for humans to just go and enjoy. It's definitely very fantasy, but all of his movies are very fantasy. This movie is very much not scary. Zero scares to be had.
Agreed.
Although some of the ghosts are pretty creepy, it still seems kind of cartoony. But again, that's Guillermo del Toro's style. That's what people like about him. Mm-hmm. For me, it was a little much in this movie. Too much fantasy.
I ignore the ghosts when I watch this movie. Is that weird?
Is sad, because it should be a little bit about the ghosts. There were several red ones.
The one that she sees when she's little in her house, her mother ghost,
her mother's,
I guess.
Ghost, yeah.
I like that ghost. But the other, the red ghosts, are they're lacking.
I mean, they all look fine to me. I just, I don't know. There's something... Guillermo del Toro is very good at making monsters, but I think
it was the CGI aspect that killed it for me. They look very cartoony.
Which is funny, because they're not. They are. There's definitely a CGI overlay, but they're people in costumes with masks. It's not like a, tennis ball on a string. They're legit people, legit actors in costumes, and they just kind of did embellishment of CGI.
Right.
Which is lovely, because I totally didn't think that they did that. And when I found that out, I was impressed. But still...
I can see that. My favorite ghost, other than the beautiful widow lady from the beginning, is when she's in the bathtub. And the shot down the corridor, and you just see this really pointy human figure kind of crawling on the wall. That's my favorite ghost. That ghost is great. Is scary.
I think they're great. I'm gonna be honest with you. This is not my favorite Guillermo del Toro movie. Not even close. I thought it would be scarier, or at least scary.
Okay.
At points. I found it not scary at all. And I felt that way when I watched the trailers, and that's why I didn't see it in theaters, even though I kind of wanted to, because I knew it would be beautiful.
Yeah.
I was also timid because it looked kind of a little too cheesy for me.
I definitely get that, and I think that's why I didn't love this movie when I saw it in theaters, because I was expecting something different. But because I knew what it was going into it the second time I saw it,
yeah,
I was like, I love it. I loved it.
I also thought the story was just way too simple and way too long-winded. I don't know. There was so much background, which I guess was needed. But it was kind of boring. Like, the story wasn't that interesting. I didn't really care as much as I usually do with a Guillermo del Toro movie. And again, sure. I'm putting this on at a higher standard because it is him, and I have a higher standard for his films. I just think that, you know, next to Pan's Labyrinth, this one just isn't really cutting it in terms of story. That's very simple, which is fine. Simplicity is fine. But I think they could have thrown in something, a twist or something, to make it a little bit more interesting.
But I mean, all of his movies aren't Pan's Labyrinth. Like, Mama wasn't like that.
True. True.
Pan's Labyrinth is really his only movie that's like that.
Didn't he just produce Mama? Did he direct Mama? He didn't direct Mama, did he?
I think he did. Because he cast Jessica Chastain based on working with her in Mama.
Yeah, he worked with her with Mama. I don't think that he directed Mama. Let me check. But I'm pretty sure he didn't.
But didn't he write it? No.
No, Andre Muschietti did. He's the one that's doing It.
Oh.
You know, I think he might have written it. He definitely produced it.
Yeah, I thought he wrote it, too, but I could be crazy.
You're just a little bit crazy. It's fine. he was definitely involved in Mama. I'm pretty sure he was a producer on it. It was fine. It was fine. It was very beautiful, and I just thought it was a little too long for how much story was involved in the actual film itself. Now, if it had more story,
totally,
I can sit and watch a 2-hour-long movie if there's a story being told. But there's really not much of a story here. And luckily, Charlie Hunnam was in it, or else I would have been over it.
I love Charlie Hunnam. I love Tom Hiddleston. I love Jessica Chastain.
I love it when Charlie Hunnam's in a movie and you don't even realize it's him because he doesn't have facial hair. And you're like, oh,
I forgot
what you look like in real life.
He's so adorable. I'm excited that he's in more movies.
Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. Have you ever seen an interview with him?
Yes.
He has a very great accent.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's so weird because it's like you can hear it. Did you watch Sons of Anarchy?
Of course.
Okay. Just making sure. Because it's like, he obviously is total babe town on Sons of Anarchy. He totally works out at the gym in Hollywood. And like, if you go there at a certain time during the day, he's like always there.
Oh, that just sounds FYI. Amazing.
When you're here.
If you know what time, if you could let me know. Don't tell everyone on the podcast because then everyone's going to go. Just text me.
Okay.
Deal. I will make it happen.
Deal. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so like on Sons of Anarchy, you know, he's got like a, obviously an American accent, but there's like certain words that he says that, you know, are a little whatever. And then I saw an interview with him and I'm like, oh my God, you're adorable. You have that like English accent, but it's like not. It's like,
it's very specific British accent.
Yes.
It's like Snagglepuss. Do you remember the Snagglepuss cartoons?
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Yes.
It's like what Snagglepuss sounds like.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it so much.
No one has that accent except for Charlie Hunnam and Snagglepuss.
And Snagglepuss.
I'm 100% sure of that.
It's amazing. And I support it. And I will probably see anything that he does.
I like him a lot.
Me too.
I remember when he was supposed to be in 50 Shades of Grey, and I was really excited about it, and then he wasn't in 50 Shades of Grey, and I was really upset about
Me too! I was like, okay, this is gonna be great, and then I was like, wah, wah. The saddest day was when he had to drop 50 Shades.
I was really upset about it. I really cared a lot about that movie when it first came out. I could give two shits about it now.
I cared about him being in that movie.
Yeah. Did you read the books?
I read the first book.
You only read the first book?
Yes.
You didn't feel the need to continue?
Well, because I didn't want to buy them. I just, like, downloaded a PDF on my Kindle and read it. And so I have the second one, but I never went that far.
Yeah, it doesn't get better. You don't need to continue, really. But, yeah, they're not good. But they're really fast reads.
I just remember when my mom, like, when everybody was reading 50 Shades of Grey, like, went home, and my mom was reading it, and she's like, Carly, it's fucking porn. And I was like, well, I'm real glad that I know that you're reading it.
Thanks for sharing,
that
Mom.
That you're reading some porn.
I mean, it's kind of porn.
Real stoked on that. I saw the new movie with my cousin, and that whole movie is porn.
Well, yeah. I mean, that whole book, the whole second book is really porny.
See, I didn't know what I was getting into.
I guess they're all pretty much porn.
This movie was way more porn-y than this, the first one.
I didn't like how, I don't know why we're talking about 50 Shades. I could talk about it. We can go back to talking about Crimson Peak. I could actually talk more about 50 Shades of Grey, but I'm choosing not to. Damn you, Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie, I understand your life choices, but I wish that you would have chosen differently.
Mom, if you're listening to this, I never read 50 Shades of Grey. It's all a lie. I would never read such filth. Now back to the podcast about horror movies.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. But yeah, so I really like Jessica Chastain, and I'm really happy that she decided to play Lucille instead of Edith, because they had originally read her for Edith.
I know, I saw that, which is interesting. I could see her as both roles, but I like her better as Edith.
Me too. She's so evil, and it makes me so happy.
Lucille, not Edith.
Oh, yeah.
I like Mia Wasikowska. Is that how you say it?
No idea.
I wrote it down. I wrote down the phonetic spelling, and I'm still unsure that I did it properly. I like her in general. She's fine. She always kind of is the same character, isn't she?
To be honest, I think the only other movie that I saw her in was the Alice movie, Alice in Wonderland, and I hated that movie. So I don't really have much to go on. I liked her in this movie just fine.
Did you ever see Stoker?
Mm-mm.
You never saw Stoker? Oh, you should see. We should see. We should do an episode on Stoker. That's a good movie. Yeah, I mean, she does a very good, like, older, like, does good with time piece movies.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. She's got the face for it.
Only Lovers Left Alive. You saw that one, didn't you?
I didn't.
No? Oh, I thought you did. Okay, never mind.
I did not see it. I wanted to see it. I still want to see it, but I have not gotten there yet.
I want to see that one, too. I just thought you liked it for some reason. I made that up. It was interesting how Benedict Cumberbatch was supposed to be in this movie.
I thought so, too.
I'm sorry.
And Emma Stone. I'm really happy that that didn't happen.
That would have been so weird. Emma Stone? No.
I can't see her as being Edith, and I would have been probably a little bummed out.
I can't see her being in a movie that doesn't take place after 2010.
She was in Gangster Squad. Wasn't that like a 50s movie?
I never saw it.
I saw it because Ryan Gosling's in it, so I saw it.
Well, I saw the preview.
Yep. I don't have anything to add. Baby Goose is great. He had a funny accent.
I don't know about, like, I like Emma Stone, don't get me wrong. I like Emma Stone a lot. I just couldn't picture her in this role at all. And Benedict Cumberbatch is, ugh. People really love him.
I like Cumberbatch. I don't find him like a babe, I'm sorry. But
he's
I like
him. He's a great actor, but he looks kind of like an alien baby a little bit.
He totally looks like an alien baby, but that's his charm, right? Right, ladies? Right.
But there's, like, people who are obsessed with him, right? Like, that's a normal, that's, like, a thing.
Yeah, they call themselves the Cumber Bitches, and he doesn't like it.
It's really weird. He looks like an alien baby, and people are obsessed with him, which is fine. But I think that that Tom Hiddleston is a better choice. I thought he
He's got very baby blues.
He's handsome. He's handsome in his own way. His own little weird squirrely way.
I think he's super cute. And I think he plays that like I believe that he is this like weird, tortured, very manipulated younger brother to Jessica Chastain's character.
I agree too. He seems like he's sharp. He seems, his last name's Sharp. I didn't mean to say it like that.
Dunce.
He's very smart and he's very, like, seems very confident in the beginning of this movie. And you slowly see him morph into, like, once he gets home, he turns into this very not confident, subdued man, you know, who suddenly seems overpowered by all the women in his life. You know, he doesn't seem like a strong character anymore. Whereas right. towards the beginning of this movie, he definitely does. So you definitely see that transformation he goes through. I thought it was I thought it was nice how, and I wrote several times towards the beginning, like, I know something's not right with him, but I don't doubt for a second that he actually loves Edith.
Agreed. Because I feel like if the plan were to have gone, you know, any other way, he could have picked any of the other women that were, like, swooning over him. But, like, he was drawn to Edith, like, from the second that he saw her. And you believe it. Totally. Even when he's, like, hurting her.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, wait a minute.
He didn't mean anything he said.
Yes.
It seems like he liked her from the moment he saw her. And, you know, I never for a second doubted that he loved her. Although he does seem like a little giant, stupid baby by the end of this movie. Because I'm like, way to be a total douche and not stick up to your stupid sister.
Seriously, it's so weird because he really does seem so confident at first.
Yeah.
And then where does that go?
I don't know.
And then he gets stabbed in the face.
Yeah. So it is nice to have a movie where the strongest characters in this film are both women.
Yeah.
Even the ghost women, they're pretty strong. They seem pretty tough. They're pissed.
Like, hey, I know we're terrifying looking, but we're just trying to help out.
Yeah. And all the men are weak and get killed. Except for Charlie.
Charlie's got it. Charlie's got Edith. Charlie walked 4 freaking hours in a blizzard to save this chick. They better get married is all I'm going to say.
I know. That was pretty hot. He's like, oh, no one can bring me? All right. I'm going to walk. You guys meet me there later.
Yeah. I was like,
when you're done being little bitches.
Damn.
That's what he says.
I'd have been like, so are we going to go get married or?
I don't know if you heard, but I walked 4 hours in a snowstorm for you. And then I got.
Then I got stabbed twice.
I got stabbed twice. And I'm still here. So you should probably marry me. I don't want to say that I'm like entitled to your love, but I mean, at this point, I kind of am.
And I do.
Oh, I love him. Good.
Me too.
I like that character probably the most. I didn't really care for Edith or Lucille or Thomas. So I think maybe that kind of hurt it too. Like I
love the dad.
I like the dad too, but he dies so pretty early.
He's in Supernatural. And when I saw him, I was like, oh, it's Bobby. And then I was like, oh, no, Bobby's face got smashed in. And
yeah, I was so that sad. Was pretty good. That was a good smashing scene.
So good, especially because you see his face, like, caved in when he's on the floor. And all the blood, like, dripping down the thing. I was like, this is great. Well done, special effects team.
Way to go. Yeah, but here, didn't they, like, break the sink? Didn't she break the sink when she broke his face?
Yes.
Because she smashed it, right? I remember the water pouring everywhere.
Yes.
So why was it not broken when Charlie Hunnam's character went to go, like, check it out?
I think they replaced it because I was thinking about that, too. But obviously it's, like, a place of business, so they don't want to have it be, like, this is where dude got smashed in the bathroom and it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they thought he just fell. Yeah, right. You can't fall that hard.
It's a pretty rough porcelain. Fall.
Just break a sink with your face. Ow. That sounds painful. I do like the different colors of the ghosts.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool how they used color. Like, mom is all in black, dressed all in black. Which is funny because when they show the picture of Lucille and Thomas's mother, that creepy painting they have in their house, she's dressed like Edith's mom at the beginning when she's a ghost. So at first I was confused because I was like, wait, which mom was that that was warning you? But it was her mom. I think maybe that's just the way that they dress dead people for paintings and things. So maybe that's why she was wearing a black gown with a black veil, maybe?
Yeah. I like that the whole time you're kind of like, that's the ghost. Like when you meet evil mother lady.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh no, like everyone's just trying to be like, watch out for that bitch.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
And the, I don't know, like the red ghosts are red because of the clay, obviously.
That's where they're buried, is in the clay.
The clay color is pretty exaggeratedly red. Because clay isn't usually that red, is it?
No, it's usually like a burnt.
It's like a browner color. But that was cool how they kind of exaggerated it. I did like that. And I liked how they were red for a reason. That was nice. And then I liked how at the very end, spoiler alert, when Thomas is a ghost and he's like all white.
Yeah.
And like gold.
And I like the blood that's coming out of his face.
Yeah, it's just like the kind of drifting. That's very Devil's Backbone, isn't it? I feel like that was in that movie a lot. They did a lot of like oozing wounds, like floating away type thing. That's a Guillermo del Toro thing that I like a lot.
I liked it a lot too.
Yeah.
I really, when this movie came out at Universal Horror Nights, they had the Crimson Peak maze. Mm-hmm. And it was my ultimate favorite one because Guillermo del Toro, I think, like, helped design a lot of the aspects of it. And so basically it was like the mansion and you go in and you go into all the different rooms. And the ghosts were so cool because they kind of had that weird, like, pointy, like, disproportionate huge hands. And, like, they were, like, very much blended into, like, the walls and the curtains. And I remember walking into one of the rooms and it was very dark, but it was, like, snowing outside. And I, like, looked to Steve, and I'm like, oh, look how it's snowing outside. And, like, all of a sudden, I just see this long, pointy finger right in front of my face. And I was like, holy shit, there's a ghost. And I was like, it was so cool. Like, that was, I wish they would bring it back so you could see
That's really cool. Yeah, I would love amazing. To see that. Super cool. All in all, I liked it. I was disappointed, but I still liked
scary.
It. No, neither of these films are scary, but they are creepy. And they're both good. They're both good ghost stories. I mean, or stories with ghosts in them. I would say that The Awakening is more of a ghost story than Crimson Peak is. I think the ghosts are kind of just like background characters that kind of help lead you through the story.
Agreed.
More than actually being something everyone is dealing with or reacting to.
Agreed.
Because only one person reacts to the ghost, and she barely does that. She doesn't really run very much. They don't appear very often, and when they do, she seems kind of scared. But she doesn't ever talk about it, so
it's true. She does once when, I think it's like the first time that she sees the ghost in the house. Because she runs in, and she's like, maybe it's the second time, and she's like, there was a woman. There was a woman in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you're crazy. Or when they first get to the house and she, like, swears that she saw someone go down the elevator.
Yeah.
And she's like, it was Lucille. That's true. And they're like, no, Lucille was, like, getting the mail or something.
Right. All right. Well, that was Crimson Peak. Let's talk about what's going on with us.
Can we talk about the movie that we both saw?
Oh, yeah. Do you guys want to hear us talk about A Cure for Wellness? Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
I hated it. I mean, I don't know if I hated it. It was really pretty. But what the hell?
I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. And at the end, I was laughing at how much I was confused by the way the story went.
Holy shit. First of all, reveal, I didn't think it was much a reveal. You put the pieces together fairly early in the plot, right?
Yeah.
And then the reveal took, like, 10 minutes. It was, like, the longest, like, main character discovering what's happening. And I was just like, how did you not know this already? Like, where is your brain? And, like, seriously, I have a huge issue with them casting that dude. I, like, really think he's too young to play this, like, businessman, or too young looking to yeah. play businessman who is, like, the fate of this, like, multi-million dollar company is put into, like, a child's hands is what it felt like to me. It didn't feel like he was playing his age. He doesn't look
that much younger than us. He's probably, like, 30.
He looks younger than that, though.
Do you think?
I seriously feel like this movie just wanted to be Shutter Island so badly.
I mean, okay, I'm going to be honest with you here. I never saw Shutter Island. This movie reminded me way more of Rosemary's Baby than it did Shutter Island, but I never saw Shutter Island.
See Shutter Island and you'll be like, this is the face you'll make.
For our listeners at home, Carly's just looking wide-eyed around the room.
You'll be like, oh, so they basically rewrote the script to Shutter Island and changed the ending.
You don't think that this is any at all reminiscent of Rosemary's Baby? Obviously, that doesn't give anything away.
No.
It does not have the same ending as Rosemary's Baby, but just the whole, like, everyone's in on it.
Because there's no devil.
You're by yourself, and there's puzzles involved. I mean, that part of it in itself, like, reminded me of Rosemary's Baby.
I didn't get that. But
well, if I could give you spoilers, maybe you would, but I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, we'll talk about that afterwards. But I don't know, like, and it just got so ridiculous. And it was so long. It was so much longer than it needed to be.
It was way longer than it needed
to be. This movie never ended. It was like the third Lord of the Rings movie, where, like, it could have ended. It ended, like, I had three different endings, and you're like, any one of these probably would have been better than the original ending, or, like, than the ending that they went with.
It was really beautiful, though.
It was
seriously beautiful. Seriously, seriously beautiful. I'll give it that.
See it on a matinee, or just wait till VOD, because I definitely don't think it's worth spending money.
I mean, you could just pass. Honestly. Like, if you don't see this movie, I don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
You're not.
No. If you really want to, you should. I think if you want to see it, you should see it in theaters so you can at least see the best part of this movie, which is what it looks like, instead of seeing it on your little TV screen. But otherwise, you just don't even need to.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't like it.
I was expecting a lot more.
The trailers that I saw before this movie were awesome.
Yeah. The trailers make it look phenomenal, but...
No, like, the trailers before the movie for other movies. Oh. That was, like, the best part of my thing.
What other trailers did you get to see?
So, I got to see the first one. It started out with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
Get Out was one of
them.
Yep,
that was one.
Logan.
Yep, I saw that one, too.
One of them.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was really good. There was a third one, but I can't remember what it was.
Was it the Amy Schumer movie?
No. Oh, no, it was Kong.
Oh.
The Skull Island one.
Yes.
The Tom Hiddleston one.
I saw that one, too.
Real good in that movie.
Yeah.
Tom's been working out.
Yeah. I liked all those trailers, and I also had the new Amy Schumer movie, and Goldie Hawn, which actually looked pretty funny.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
I thought.
What a weird trailer to have in front of. Like, not that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was like.
Do you know what that movie is about? They're, like, on vacation and they get kidnapped, but it's a comedy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I've seen it. I think I've seen it before.
It kind of fits. Ish. Ish.
It's weird.
All the other ones that were, like, action or horror.
Yeah. Trailers.
I want to apologize also, because last week I said, oh my god, I can't wait to watch Get Out this weekend, and then Get Out doesn't come out till next weekend, so.
I can't wait to watch Get Out this weekend.
We'll just say it again. I can't wait to watch Get Out. It's going to be so good.
I was, like, squealing with delight. I feel like I probably bothered some moviegoers, because I was literally like.
During the trailer.
Whee! I can't wait! I'm definitely one of those people that, like, oh, that's going to be good. Oh, that looks terrible. After trailers and movies.
I do that too, but I'm relatively quiet about it.
So am
unless
I.
It's something well, I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
So I also watched a movie that I wanted to recommend this movie to you, but then there's, like, a really bad dog thing, so I don't want to anymore. It's called The Lobster.
Oh my god, literally I was told not to see that because of that scene.
Yeah, there's a scene that's horrible and
my friend
really
was
hard
like,
to watch.
My friend was like, I'll cut it out of the movie. I'll make a special edit for you where I cut the scene out of the movie because I really wanted to see that movie. But then I heard about the dog thing. And
it's a very short scene and it's not needed, which makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. And you would like this movie otherwise.
That's what I heard.
So, yeah.
I'll have to like digitally download it and be like, Jason, take this out for me.
What if I tell you like when to skip? Like, I'll tell you what minute to skip, and then you can just fast forward. Okay. And I'll tell you what happens, and you don't have to watch it.
Sounds good.
Okay. Because it's on Amazon Prime right now.
Oh,
it's worth
cool.
a watch. Also, I finished Buffy.
Yeah. Did you cry? I cried.
I didn't cry at the end. I cried the season previous a lot. But not in this one.
No. I was so sad. I don't know if we can spoil, but when with the
did that make you cry?
I don't know if I cried then. It's been a while.
When a character left us.
Left us. I was just so sad, and then I was like, "Well, it's over now. What do I do?"
Yeah, I was just more like, "I can't believe this is over." That was a nice ending. I liked the way it ended, for the most part. I didn't get everything I wanted, but that's life. And yay. I mean, it's weird. It's weird not to be watching Buffy anymore.
Did you hear about that other show that's on now?
Which one?
It's on Netflix. Fuck. It's like called the new British Buffy.
No.
I'll have to look. Hold on.
I want to watch the new British Buffy.
I'm going to look it up. So I've been texting Amy all, I've continued my Gilmore Girls situation. I'm not finished with it by any means.
Slacker.
But I'm not hating Logan right now.
Ugh.
At all.
Are you still on season 6?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait till you get to season 7 when everything gets really weird.
Is that where it's like, not...
It's bizarro Gilmore Girls. It's like a different writer and director.
That seems so weird.
It's very weird. And buckle up. It's going to be real weird. It'll never be the same again after season 6.
That's so bizarre. I just don't understand why they would. What is the reason? Because you know all about the ins and outs of what happened.
Because Amy Sherman-Palladino wanted something. I forgot exactly what it was. She wanted like an assistant or more money or something additional than what she already had. And they were like, no. And they owned the show. So she just walked away.
That's so crazy. And was it supposed to end after 7 seasons? Or did they just like... realize, hey, this isn't going so well, so let's wrap it up.
I don't know that it was supposed to end after 7 seasons, but she had an ending already planned out.
Okay, and that's what Netflix gave us?
Kind of. 10 years later,
right.
So it has a different effect, but yeah, technically.
I'm really curious to see, because, like, I mean, I know that Logan's, like, not, I mean, he's, like, kind of shitty at heart, I guess.
I mean, there's nothing really wrong with Logan. I personally don't like Logan because I'm Team Jess, and I'm not allowed to like Logan, and that's just the way it is.
Why? Because they don't like each other?
I think Logan's a spoiled brat. He always is a spoiled brat. He acts like a spoiled brat. He doesn't treat Rory very great most of the time.
I mean, when he was, like, winning her back, he did some pretty valiant things, I thought.
That's true, but it's not enough for me. I feel like Jess is her soulmate. Jess is, like, the guy she's supposed to be with. And I feel like Logan just weasels his little stupid face in there all the time. Get out of there, Logan.
I feel like
with your Birkin bag and your stupid face.
I don't know if I ever felt like Jess and her were meant to be together. I feel like he pushes her, but I don't necessarily think that they are right together as a couple.
Do you think her and Logan are right together as a couple? I mean, I guess that's true. Rory kind of becomes a shitbag, so she kind of belongs with Logan because he's also a shitbag. But I want her to be with Jess because I like Jess more.
I liked him more as well until, I don't know, like, they're kind of cute together. Like, when he invites, like, her mom and Luke to the Hamptons and like...
Oh, that's the worst episode ever.
He's, I don't know, Luke is like the worst for some reason. Like,
it was Cape Cod though, right? It was in Cape Cod, not...
Oh, Hamptons, yeah, yeah, you're right. But yeah. But like, I don't know, he was like weird and nice and I don't know.
That is the worst. Vineyard Valentine is the worst episode of Gilmore Girls, and that includes all of season 7.
But do you know why? It's because it doesn't take place in Stars Hollow.
That's not why. It's so out of place and weird. They're like different characters for some reason. It's a Daniel Palladino episode, and sometimes he just really fucks up the characters. he makes Luke unbearable.
Yeah.
So unbearable. He makes Lorelai and Rory fucking stupid. Rory can't cook, you guys.
No,
you
can't. She just made the salad all of a sudden.
Oh, we go here all the time. We just never talk about it on the show. And let's go to the gym. Oh, yeah, we totally go to the gym all the time and get massages. What the fuck is this? This is the stupidest episode. I hate that episode.
It was a really stupid episode.
It's the worst episode of Gilmore Girls in existence.
But
and
Logan
I hate
was
that
really
it
nice in it.
Yeah, because it's a fucking bizarro episode. Everything's backwards. So Logan's a good character and everyone else is fucking everything up.
And he saved the episode of the newspaper or the newspaper situation.
Which is such a bummer. Like, what, Rory can't handle that shit on her own. She needs her boyfriend to come and rescue her. I hate that shit.
Look at it like that. I looked at it like his dad is a total douchebag, but like, is the, hey, I'm amazing in the newspaper world.
Is he, though? Is he a douchebag? Is his dad a douchebag?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Today.
Why is his dad a douchebag?
Because he is really mean every time we see him.
How is he mean? He's honest. How is he mean?
I don't think he's honest. I think he said that stuff to Rory because he was mean.
You think?
Yeah. And then he yelled at her grandpa, who he's a really nice man.
I think that Logan's mom is mean.
Oh, she's dumb. I like when Emily slammed down on her, I was like, this is great. Go, grandma.
I know. Emily's the best.
Okay, so that TV show that I was telling you about just then, it's like Ooh. Been dubbed Buffy meets Misfits. It's called Crazy Head. It's on Netflix.
Oh, I've seen that on there.
Yes.
Is there vampires, though?
Demons.
All right.
They're demons.
Check it out. I really miss Buffy. Nothing's going to take the place of Buffy.
It never will. Let me tell you.
Although I was telling Carly that before I watched Buffy, I had watched some Vampire Diaries previously in my life. And I noticed when I was watching Buffy, I was like, this is a lot like Vampire Diaries, except much better than Vampire Diaries. I think Buffy's a lot better than Vampire Diaries, but I'm just saying... It's also kind of similar.
I told Amy that I would watch a season for her, and we'll see how it goes.
The thing is, I started rewatching Vampire Diaries a little bit because I just wanted to see how similar it really was.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this really isn't good. The first season is not good. I don't think any of it's good, but you just get weirdly, like, attached to the characters and can't stop watching it. At least I do.
I understand that. That definitely happens.
Yeah. But it's really funny because the first few... episodes of Vampire Diaries is like Twilight almost, and
That's
then
why
it turns.
I never watched it.
Yeah, it starts off. It definitely starts off kind of Twilighty, but then it gets it changes. Obviously, you know how shows do that. Like the first season can be kind of like weird, and then it gets better.
Yeah,
Buffy's kind of like that. The first season of Buffy is not very good.
I think that's how a lot of like teen shows go.
Yeah. Where they just, like, take a minute to find their footing, so they, like, start off in, like...
And it's not even that they ever get, like, good. I think it's exactly what you said, that it's, like, you create attachments to, like, these characters or, like, a group of friends.
Yeah, I like to get really involved in fictional worlds.
Me too!
Just get lost in them.
Oh my gosh, so I've been legit watching Grey's Anatomy since it came out. And this, like, new season has really been rough for me. There's, like, one character that you love the entire season, and she's just a major bitch right now, and I'm really upset about it.
I never watched that, so I couldn't tell you.
My parents got me into it.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about?
Get out. I'm excited for it.
I know. I'm excited about it, too. All right, let's close out for today.
Okie dokie.
Okay, thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and Justin Link for our amazing logo. Visit Final Girls Horrorcast for information on them. We still have stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes, then send us an email to finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com and we'll send some directly to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. Find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
We will be kicking off Listener Request Month next month with Silver Bullet, which is now streaming on Amazon Prime and Hulu. And we'll also be doing Warlock, which is a special request from our Twitter follower, Tommy Bort. And he's been asking us to talk about this for a while, so I promised him we would do it. So it's not streaming, but we're renting it from Amazon Prime and going to watch it. So woo-hoo. That's a movie from like the 80s, so probably people have seen it. I don't know.
Watch it. Order the disc. If you haven't seen it, watch it with us, and then we'll talk about it, and it'll be a good time.
I like movies about witches, so I'm down. Also, we will be on another podcast. We're going to be on the Horror Business podcast sometime in March. We haven't picked that time yet, but we will give you more information as that approaches. That'll be really fun.
Yay, I'm excited.
I'm excited to be on their podcast. It's going to be fun to be on a podcast that's not ours. Be like special guests. Or just guests.
Or just
maybe
guests.
Not special guests.
Just two random ladies.
Weasel my way into your podcast guests. Yeah. but that's it for today. So check out Silver Bullet and Warlock for next week. And until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Bye.